together, and Lord, isn't it nice that we can lay all of our differences aside in everyday life and come for one cause tonight, and that's just lift up the name of Jesus Christ and His cause. And we just thank You for that. Isn't it good to be in God's house? I've been blessed already by being here tonight. I really, really have. James chapter 4 and verse 1, praying in the Spirit tonight, just praying in the Spirit. I just felt like this is something we might need tonight. Praying in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? Well, maybe we'll be discussing this in a few minutes. You know, we have a principle whenever we pray, to pray the right way, and that our prayers may not be denied, and we just triumph in prayer whenever we have the sensitivity to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very, very jealous for the cause of Christ. Holy Spirit is also very jealous for the cause of Christ, and also promotes the glory of Christ and the cause of Christ in this world. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Absolute essential that we understand when we pray that we need to pray in the Spirit. And that's what praying in the Spirit does, because the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, and in us He glorifies Christ and He promotes the cause of Christ. That is the reason that we pray. That is the reason the Holy Spirit that we have carries Him to the holy room of God in heaven. And it says in James chapter 4 and verse 5, do you think that the Scripture said in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? Let us pray. Father, again, we thank You, the Lord, that we might bow our heads, humble as we know how, and just say, thank You. We praise You and we honor You here this night, because You honor Your word and You honor Your people, Father. And we just thank You. We're just part of the kingdom of God because, Lord, what You've done on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, that You made it possible, that, Father, we are already on our way to heaven. And, Father, heaven lives in us tonight. Each and every person knows Jesus Christ. Heaven is in us. And we want to thank You for that, Father, because we know that You made a place for us. And oh, how we thank You, Lord, what You're doing in us through the Holy Spirit of God, and how Your people here this night, oh, how we come together to love You, Lord, and to praise You and to honor You, Father, for the great mercy that You show upon us each day and the great grace. Here this night, so many names have been mentioned, Father, and we just pray, God, for the problems we have in our life and the problems, Lord, our family, our loved ones, our friend has, that, Father, we'll understand how to pray in the Spirit. Lord, that You might take, Father, our request to the very throne rooms of heaven. And, Father, express them, Lord, that Your name might be glorified in the cause of Christ, maybe here on this earth. Again, we want to thank You for all these blessings in the precious and the holy name of Jesus. Amen. How do we pray in the Spirit? For the cause and for the glory of Jesus Christ is how we pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a ministry here on this earth. The Holy Spirit has always had a ministry here on earth. The Holy Spirit had a ministry in the Old Testament, a different dispensation period of time. The Holy Spirit come upon people for certain tasks that God had called him for, and then he would leave. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament, a new covenant, he comes with, lives within his people, and stays within his people until that person lays down that life, and that spirit and that soul, it wings its way back to heaven, because the Holy Spirit come from heaven. The Holy Spirit, when the rapture of the church comes, the Holy Spirit will not be taken out of this world. The Holy Spirit will have another ministry. It won't be the ministry it has in the church age as you and I live it in right now. It will still be here, always will be here, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as one, but they are different ministries, and the Holy Spirit has a different ministry. The hour that you and I are living in today, the Holy Spirit ministers to us before it could minister through us. And that is in Ephesians 6 and 18, it says, pray always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance and the supplication for all saints. In us, Jude chapter 20, it says, but ye, beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Again, in Romans 8 and 26 and 27, Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Prayer is our greatest privilege as a Christian. Did y'all know that? It is our greatest privilege, but also it is our greatest responsibility. The reason that I've been on prayer for so long is I know that prayer is the power of this church. Prayer motivates this church. Prayer holds this church together. Prayer is a power in your life. So we certainly need prayer. We need the loving prayers. We need laboring prayers. We need lingering prayers. We need the listening prayers. Also, we have the greatest service that you can do for Jesus Christ is to pray. Hear me. The greatest service that you do is pray. Sometimes we think, you know, that we serve God when we come to the house of God. We're not really serving God when you come to the house of God. We come to the house of God to worship God. We serve God when we leave to go out in our everyday life and what God has called us to do. But we need these prayers every day. You know, people think maybe if I could just pray better, I can serve better. When you are praying, you are serving the Lord. Remember that. Sometime when our senior adults, as I mentioned, are no longer to be with us, and a lot of times you might hear them say, or someone say, well, they can't serve no longer. Yes, they can. They can pray no matter where they at. And if they're praying, they are serving. And that is the greatest service that they might be able to do, not just because we sit here on these pews tonight, but wherever these senior adults are at, whenever they're praying to God, I'm telling you, that is the greatest service that they might be able to do. The greatest privilege and the greatest service is to pray. But so many times I think we have our greatest failures when we don't pray as we should, or either we just don't pray. There's certain situations that we know of in our life. It's very true. You know, sometimes that God just turns his ear away from our prayers. I don't know about you, but I probably, if you've prayed very long, if you went through these same things, something might not be right in your life. It might be unconfessed prayer, unconfessed sin in your life. As Christians, you know that we will sin. We do know that, don't we? I mean, if you have been saved very long and we don't get too spiritual-minded tonight, and you are a child of God, and you will remember sometime that you do fail and you do sin and you need forgiveness, and we thank Lord for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He will forgive us, but a lot of times we find out that we may have some hidden sin in our life, or we might find out we're not walking close to the Lord as we ought to when we offer up prayer. In Isaiah chapter 1 and 15, it says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. That's one situation. He's talking to the nation of Israel that he just wouldn't hear. We want the Lord to hear our prayers, but we must be clean of heart whenever we pray to the Lord. And we need to pray through the Spirit. Just remember now, praying through the Spirit, our prayers so many times are fruitless and also powerless because they don't reach heaven because of the situation that we're living in, or we just not ask forgiveness before we pray. And it's for God's glory and also promotes the cause of Christ. That's what you're here for. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in you tonight. Did y'all know that? He's doing through a work in you, and he has to work in you before he can work through you. And it don't matter who you are. It might be a Sunday school teacher, or it's a preacher, or you as an individual person. Before God can do something through you, he's got to do something in you. And that's what he's working on, each and every one of us. The ministry through us. What does the Holy Spirit do through us? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, 6, and 7, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, what's the Holy Spirit doing? Well, it mentions flesh. What is the flesh? It's not this right here that you see or feel. That's not the flesh it's talking about when we find out in the Bible. The flesh is talking about that old fallen nature that you have. Do you understand you still have that fallen nature? A lot of people believe when you get saved, you do away with that old fallen nature. Have you found out you're still dragging around with you? Have you found out it gets resurrected from time to time? Just ask your wife or your husband from time to time if you don't think he is resurrected, because it's the old flesh, the old fallen nature that we inherited. And as I said, it'll stay with you until you put your last foot in the place called the grave, or either the rapture of the church. It says there in verse 6 of that Romans that I read, carnal-minded is death, because it kills the spiritual things to be carnal-minded. Did you know that we have a civil war going on in our body after you're saved? The battle hadn't begun until after you were saved. A lot of people think, maybe when I get saved, then man, everything going to be all right from here on out. No, that's when the war begins. You're already going in one direction, but now you have somebody in you that wants to go in another direction, and that's the Spirit of God. There's a civil war going on, and every one of us is saved here tonight. Carnal-minded man is enemy with God. It cannot be the friend of God. Our old nature in you has no stomach or no desire to pray. Now, that's what we're talking about. He don't have any desire to pray, no more than a dog has any desire to listen to opera, which I don't either. But anyway, you know, the old carnal nature, it has no desire to pray. You ever tried to pray and it seemed like it wouldn't come out? Listen, praying in the Spirit, when the Spirit starts controlling us and we yield to the Spirit of God that lives within us, because as long as we stay full of ourselves, as long as we are carnal-minded, we have no appetite to pray, because the flesh, the old fallen nature that we're talking about, it has no desire to pray. Have you ever tried to pray for 30 minutes? You ever try to pray for 10 minutes? You ever try to pray for 5 minutes? Did you know 5 minutes is a long, long, long time, seem like, to pray? You try it. Because an old natural mind, this old natural body, this old natural that we have, fallen nature, don't desire to sit down and pray for no 5 minutes or either 1 minute. Our carnal mind, our fleshly nature, you know, is a form of weakness. It's a form of weakness in us when it comes to praying. Now, sooner that we admit this, the better off that you are. Do you admit tonight that you're weak? Oh, now we spiritual Humpty Dumpties tonight, are we? We're here tonight. A lot of people are not even coming on Wednesday night. And we spiritual Humpty Dumpties tonight. Man, we've got it together, aren't we? No, we don't really have it together. I'm going to tell you, you need to admit tonight that you have weaknesses. We are weak. And we need to accept our weaknesses. Don't deny it. Because our weakness really could be our greatest asset if we understand it. Why would it be our weakness be our asset to our prayer? Because God keeps us depending upon Him. God keeps us depending upon Him. And that's the reason we need to understand this. The secret of strength is understanding our weaknesses. Boy, I tell you, I understand more of my weakness today than I did when I first got saved. Do you? I understand a whole lot more about my weaknesses today than I did when I first got saved. And that's the way it is. When we no longer depend upon ourselves and depend on the Spirit of God, then we understand where prayer is coming to. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul talking about his prayers. Paul says, I need to depend upon God in my weakness. And the reason that I don't pray any better than I do is because I'm too weak. Weak in the flesh. No, the reason I don't pray no more than what I do, I'm not weak enough. I don't realize my weakness. I think I'm strong. I think I got power. No, the reason we don't pray more is because we don't realize how weak we are. How very weak we are. There's two ways to pray. We can try to pray in this old fleshly manner, which won't never get anywhere, or we can pray in the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God has to do a work in us before He can do a work through us. Then we begin to pray, carry these prayers to the Holies of Holies. I like to use a Miss Sarah, I'm glad you're here tonight. Going to Ecuador, and I'm going to use this for an illustration. She's going to Ecuador in July the 1st through the 8th, and that's next year, and she's going to Ecuador. Do you have your passport? She's going to get a passport there. Well, let me tell you, that passport that she's going to get gives her an opportunity to go into a foreign country. a foreign nation. That's a passport. That means you have the privilege to go into a foreign nation with that passport. I have a passport, and I go to Mexico in a few weeks, and I have a passport that allows me to go into that foreign nation. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ gives us a passport through Jesus that we might be able to pray and carry our prayers to the Holy of Holies. That gives us a passport. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us a passport. But now when Sarah lands in that foreign land on that airplane, she gets off that airplane, and maybe they might be the pilot of that plane says, "Okay, Sarah, we'll see you next week." She don't know nobody. There's nobody there to meet her. So he just dumps her off in a foreign land. "I'll be back in a week to pick you back up." She won't be able to accomplish very much, I can tell you that. She needs somebody to meet her at the plane. She needs somebody to take her by her hand. She needs somebody to help her carry out her cause, the reason she's going to Ecuador. You have a passport to heaven. Your prayers that you offer up to God through the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that you can pray. But we need somebody to take us by the hand and carry us into the very throne rooms of the glory and take the prayers and through us that we might be able to do the cause of Christ in this foreign land that we live in this day. And that's what these prayers is all about. Now, as she lands at Ecuador or anybody goes in foreign land, there's always, we find out, like our prayers. We have our passport, but there are always going to be some enemies. There's going to be some people. There are six enemies, I said, that keeps us from praying. There'll be six enemies that keeps us from carrying out the cause of Christ that God has called us to do here while we're in this body. Well, you see them, there are very many of them. I just named six of them because I can think of these six. To start with, they're going to be the indifference. There are going to be some people that really don't care where you go or you don't go. There'll be some people care when you get there. They don't care where you leave or you don't. There are going to be some indifference. Now, that's the way it is in our Christian life today. We have the passport to do what God calls us to do, to be able to pray as we ought to pray. But you see, there's some indifference. And the greatest need that we have in our country, in our church today, is a need to understand our problem. But people say, "You know, I don't know and I don't care." Well, there'll be some people, as you carry out your ministry in a foreign land, that I don't know and I don't care. They indifferent. They really don't care. And the same thing we have today. We just don't care. We really need to pray, yes, more. But now we have this indifference. We just have this indifference in this old flesh. It's the enemy that carry out the cause that Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit of God, carrying out the cause of Christ in us. There's so much indifference. The flesh have no appetite, you see, has no appetite to pray. Carnal mind is the enemy of God. It has no appetite. So therefore, you see, people are not in the same line that we're in. They have no concern about the things we have concern about. As I said, there'll be people that's indifferent about Sarah going to Ecuador. "Why don't you stay in? Why don't you spend all that money? Why am I going to Mexico? Why don't you spend that money around here for? What you going to go way down there for? People need help right here." People just indifferent to your cause that you're going for. The same thing of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us, but there's so much indifference in the world. What God's called us in this world to do, what we're here to do, and there's so much indifference. They just really don't care. Admit the reason we don't pray more, because really we don't want to. We would do more for the cause of Christ if we really wanted to. We'd be more missions if we really wanted to. We just don't really want to. We just indifference. You just don't care, don't want to pray, the indifference. We really need to pray. Carnal-minded, that's our old natural self. We need help. Well, Romans 8 and 15 tells us, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to the fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit of God leads us to pray. Did y'all know that? The Spirit of God leads us to pray. When we turn to the Holy Spirit of God and turn the Holy Spirit of God loose, He gives us the energy and the desire to pray. Now, be reasonable with me. You don't really care about praying most of the time. How many people do you pray for every morning? How long do you pray every morning? Did you pray before you come to church? Did you pray for this church service? You really don't want to pray. Am I telling the truth? Because we stay so full of the flesh, of the old nature, so many times. We have no appetite. We're just indifference to the cause and the things of God. Galatians 4 and 6 says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father." The Spirit is crying, Abba, Father. Gives us a desire to pray. Desire to pray. Another enemy there is just ignorance of how to pray. How to pray. Romans 8 and 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When you get to Ecuador, you know, I'm not going to say ignorant, because there's going to be a lot of things you don't know about. I don't know. When I go across the border to Mexico, if I don't have somebody to help me, I wouldn't be a bit of good whatsoever. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't accomplish anything that I was supposed to accomplish while I'm going. And you'd be the same way, Sarah. You need somebody to help you, don't you? You're going to need somebody right here with you, don't you? You're not going to understand the language. You're in a new land. You're going to have somebody to help you, to show you around the land. You don't know. You're going to have help. It's because of our ignorance. We need this. You know, we need to have someone lead us around in a prayer room, because we don't know what to speak for. We don't even know what to pray for. For instance, even here while we're praying tonight, and I just mentioned a lot of people on our prayer list, a lot of people have cancer. All right? They ain't nothing but a pile of bones and a bag of a pain. Cancers eat them up. Are we going to pray for the Lord to heal them, or are we going to pray for the Lord to take them home? I don't know what to pray for. Do you? I don't know what to pray for. I've called in this situation a lot of times at the hospital, and people sick, and I don't know what to pray for. You know, the family, oh yeah, I still believe the Lord's going to heal them. They'd be eat up with cancer. The Lord can, but most of the time when they eat up with cancer, He won't. Deadly disease of all kind. What are we going to pray for? We don't know what to pray for, because we're in a strange land and we need help. We need help. Romans 8 and 27 tells us, "And he that searches the heart knoweth that is the mind of Christ, which he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He searches the mind. Let us know we know we want to desire the best for that person, but we don't know what to pray for. And Isaiah says, you know, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord." We have this, the ignorance of not knowing what to pray, but we have the Spirit of God that helps us. But in an inability to pray, we want to go and do what God has called us to do, and Sarah wants to go to the foreign land and do what God's called her to do, but she don't have the inability, she don't have the ability to do it. She got to have help, and I have to have help. To try to pray, you see, whenever we try to pray, our inabilities that we need help, because when you pray, you ever have a headache comes on. You know, or you get sleepy. You ever try to pray and you get sleepy? Or you say, "I'm just so tired, I just don't feel like praying right now." You ever get tired? Spirit's willing, but flesh is weak. Get them out, Peter and James and John, when the Lord carried them to the garden, said, "All right, stay here, watch you pray while I go." And you know what he done? They went to sleep. They went to sleep. Romans 8 and 11 says, "But it is the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." That's talking about the resurrection also when we die, the resurrection, but talking about the resurrection now. That, you know what, we don't have this ability, but he'll quicken our abilities now by that same power. They might be able to pray and ask God for what we need to ask him for. He quickens us now, our inabilities. But we have also our interference. Our interference. You know, there's a lot of interference as you go to do God's work here on this earth. And I think about going to a foreign land, being on a foreign mission, there'll be a lot of interference. You see, the devil don't want you to do the Lord's work here. The devil don't want you to do the work nowhere. All right, there's interference. When you start to praying in the spirit, all the artillery of the devil is going to be aimed against you. The devil says, all right, demons, get together now. Whatever it takes, stop him from praying. Because if we can stop him from praying, we can beat him every time. But if we don't stop him from praying, he can beat us every time. Now, that is according to the gospel IB. The best way to beat the devil is to pray in the spirit. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, start putting on the whole armor of God. Let me read that to you. Starts off in Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, trickeries of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take you unto the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil days, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your shoes and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Lord, or sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And at that time, there's no battle. You're just getting ready for battle. You go home and read that. And then the next verse, you're getting ready for battle. And it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all the perseverance and the supplication of all the saints. But on all that, then you fix and get ready for war, and then war is going to come. War is going to come. Well, when we come to church on Wednesday night, we come to church on Sunday, we're not here simply to do battle. We're here, you know, just get the spoils of the battle, because prayer, the battle was won before we got here. The battle was won for prayer. We just pick up the spoils. Interference. Try to pray, the beans burns. Telephone rings. Man, I tell you, I get down and start to try to work on my sermon, I'm telling you what, I never seen so much interruption in all my life. Dogs will bark, you know, somebody knock on the door, the babies will cry, you know, your headaches. You reckon all that just happens, so you reckon part of that's the devil. When you try to read your Sunday school lesson, you get so sleepy you can't hardly read it. Something always happens. You reckon that's a consequence, or that devil doing that? We can't pray effectively in the flesh because, you see, we have so much interference of the devil. We have to pray in the spirits. Romans 8 and 27, again, it says, he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of Christ, because he makes intercessions according to the will of God. Inexpressibility. Sometimes we're so inadequate, we don't know how to praise, we don't know where to praise, or we don't know where to plead. We can't express what's in our heart. Romans 8 and 26 also tells us, you know, that again, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't know that not cannot be uttered is certainly not speaking in tongues, not praying in tongues. No, 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 no. That's not what it's talking about. Here it is, talk about the word there in the Greek language tells that mother and father is concerned over a child that's sick, very sick, and already the child is in trouble. And you can't verbalize exactly what you want to say to God about it. There it is, maybe on its deathbed. Maybe your family, your loved one. And you don't know how to express what's on your heart. You know, your heart is full, but you can't say it in words. You can't tell God what you really want to tell him because there's no word for it. Maybe it's someone that's a loved one that you put in a grave and your heart's breaking, but you can't express it. There's the groaning of the Spirit. Thank God that he knows what we're feeling, knows our heart, and he accepts it. That's what the groaning of the Spirit is. Who's doing the groaning? It's the Spirit of God that does the groaning. It's another word mentioned here as a mother is getting ready to give birth, and the agony and the pain is groaning. There's something absolutely unique about this because the pain is linked together with the intention, desire to bring forth a child. And that's this groaning. That's this groaning. Our whole life comes together in this groaning and expectation of bringing forth what's in our heart to a living God. Inaccessibility. Sometimes you feel like your prayers is not getting through the holy, getting to the holies of holies. We just can't make it there. As I said, you know, that's where the blood comes in. The blood gives us the right to pray. Blood gives us a right. He gives us the right to come. The power to come to the throne room of God. That's the blood. That's the passport. That's what gives Sarah a right to enter into a foreign land. The blood gives us a right, a power to enter in to the holies. But you see, we also need the supply, how we get there, for someone take us by the hand, the Spirit, and supply the needs. Ephesians 2 and 18, it tells us in Ephesians 2 and 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access. That's that passport. Gives us the right. But we need an escort. And that's the Holy Spirit that gives us this escort. And see, the Holy Spirit has a ministry in us, but then it has a ministry through us to accomplish what God has put in us to do while we're here on this earth. It says in Romans 26 and 34, I read Romans 26, he said that, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groaning that cannot be uttered. And then verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God who maketh intercession for us? In those two different verses, there's two words for intercession, verse 26 and verse 34. Christ makes intercession for us at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us for a different purpose. You know, that purpose is for Christ's cause, what we live for right here, to work through us. I am the object of the Savior. He intercesses for me to the Father. The Holy Spirit intercesses through me on the behalf of Jesus Christ. He's a jealous over me because of the cause of Christ that brings glory and promotes that cause through me. The Holy Spirit is jealous of us. There's a reason. Because there's a cause that we're here today. And I'm telling you, we have a passport by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then you see, we need someone to take us by the hand and carry us through this life that you and I are living. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because you really see, we all in a foreign land. This is not our home, is it not? We're just passing through. My treasure are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon to me. Y'all know the rest of the song? We're just passing through. So the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, that's what we need to learn, and I need to learn too. Because my old flesh don't want to pray. Thank you, Lord, that we have this privilege to pray tonight. Does anybody like to say anything tonight before we dismiss? I got about 30 seconds now if you'd like to. I'd like for you to stand up at this time, if you will, please. You can stand if you will at this time. And if you have something that you'd like to say for just a moment.